Welcome, everyone, to this edition, the solo edition of the Not So Common podcast. I am Pat Contry. I decided to, go solo this time out. Besides being lazy sometimes, I wanted to give everyone an update on things. It's really hot in here right now. Woo! I think that's part of the reason why I feel a little overheated. I'm starting that 14-10 diet plan. Not really diet plan, but I guess eating schedule. So the theory is that if you do limited fasting, so if you don't eat for like 14 hours and then give yourself a 10-hour window in the day to eat, it jump starts your metabolism and gives your metabolic system a chance to rest at the same time. So you're not constantly eating and burning through that. And I've been doing it for almost a week now, and I can feel it. Like, I feel heated up right now. I can feel my body going, even though I did not really eat that much today. I haven't even exercised in a few days. I was lazy. I skipped yoga yesterday. Wait a minute. It was Memorial Day. There was no yoga. Anyway, so I feel like I'm like heating up right now. So if you see me sweating, that's probably why. I have to eat something probably soon. No, I won't be eating on the podcast. I know you guys hate that. I know you guys don't like that. So Memorial Day came and went, and it's always strange. I don't know if I should tweet out Happy Memorial Day, because what's so happy about, people that died serving the U.S.? I mean, I guess you are appreciative of that fact, but saying happy is kind of weird, even though it's such a commercial holiday now where you have tons of mattress sales and, you know, furniture sales, Memorial Day sales for washers and dryers and all the sales at your local grocer. So I like anything else, Easter, any holiday can become a commercial holiday. I just don't feel comfortable saying Happy Memorial Day to someone. I guess have a fun Memorial Day, because there's always barbecues and stuff going on. It's officially the start of the summer in late May. That said, it's come and gone. Of course, President Trump made it about himself in a tweet. Not surprising, bragging about himself, you know, lowering the unemployment rate, even though that really has anything to do with the president. It doesn't matter what president it is, and bragging about other shit. It was really strange and not surprising, kind of detestable. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's what we got now for the next few years, unless he's booted out of office. That's all I can say about that. So what's been going on here? What's been going on is, you see all this this clutter here. It's actually good news for me, because that means I'm actually getting stuff on the shelves. You see the nice TurboGrafx games on the shelves here. N64 on the bottom, out of the way where it belongs. I have the wall of Sega over there with Master System games, Genesis games, and also, 32X, Sega CD, Saturn. And underneath, I'll probably put the weird stuff, maybe like the long box PS1 games. And I'll put like the Amiga 32 or CDI and 3DO games will go on that shelf. There's still not enough room in the expanded game room for all the crap I have here. That stuff's going to have some box consoles on it there. Maybe the Game Boy Zippo lighter case will go there. Maybe. I don't know. So there's a lot been going on even the past 48 hours. Not really in my life, but just, you know, well, yeah, in my life there's always stuff going on. I shouldn't say that. Pat, you have a boring life. No, I don't. There are things going on. But I just mean with the interwebs, and I mentioned a weird tweet from the president on Memorial Day that I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. We'll get into someone else with a bad tweet later. Man, social media, huh? I think at some point we might have to have not ban social media, but for most people, does it make your lives really better, or does it fill you with anxiety and dread and just filled with horrific news? Yeah, you can share some funny cat memes and find out what's going on. Hell, I love watching the results after like the NBA playoff games. You see the fun memes and tweets about LeBron or Steph Curry or Klay Thompson being a goofball. And by the way, the NBA playoffs has been outstanding so far. Didn't quite think the Warriors would get there to the finals, but they did somehow. And now Chris Paul was out a couple days, but Iguodala was out a couple games, and he's important too. Maybe not as good a player as Chris Paul, but important. Klay Thompson was a little banged up here and there. Steph Curry, just like a couple years ago, coming off of his sprained knee or sprained ACL, MCL, whatever it is. Not ACL, he'd be out. Anyway, so Warriors got through. We have the Warriors versus LeBron and the Cavs, part 4. I don't see I don't see the Warriors losing more than one game. I mean, hell, they didn't do it last year, and that's when the Cavaliers had Kyrie Irving. So it could be a sweep or a gentleman sweep five games. I probably would say five games there, and that's a wrap. And then you have an official dynasty with the Warriors, and they can probably win two or three more in a row after this, potentially. Easily one or two more. They could. I mean, most of their players are under 30. Steph Curry's under 30. Durant's under 30. Klay Thompson's under 30. He's young. You know, Draymond Green, was he 27? They're all under 30. They're all not even in their primes, just getting to their primes. And the only one over 30 that's really important is Andre Iguodala, which I think is 33, 34. And he's not a premier player anyway, but he's a finals MVP for a couple of years ago. And he's really good on defense, and he really helps. He spreads the floor a little bit more on offense. He's a better three-point shooter than Draymond Green, which isn't saying much, because I'm probably a better three-point shooter than Draymond Green. But his defensive and smarts is important for the team. Before this becomes an NBA podcast, that's what's going on. And yes, I would love to see LeBron James lose again, just because I don't like LeBron James. I don't like anyone who has chosen tattooed on themselves. While the phone goes off. While the phone goes off. That's great. I'm going to pause right here. Oh, you know what that was? You know what that phone call was? Oh, just another congressman fucking support call. At least it wasn't a robocall. Man, the election season gets to me. And I guess this is the June gubernatorial, love that word, primary for California. And now there's robocalls and regular calls. And, you know, the one year I actually got a phone call from the candidate of mayor, Carl DeMaio, called me up a few years ago. I could have talked to him, but I let it go to voicemail. This is a weird time in general, but I don't think anyone calling on the phone is going to sway my vote one way or the other. Maybe get me to vote, but whatever. What the hell was I saying? This is already off the rails here. It's already off the rails. So the NBA Finals will be fun. I talked about my 14-10 diet, how it's killing me, but I think I'm losing weight. NBA Finals, yeah, Warriors in five. The NFL came out with their weird follow-up to the ban on kneeling during the anthem. You know what? I think when 20 years from now, we're going to look back at this moment in time and just shake our heads and scratch our heads and just say as a society, what the hell is going on? We were so concerned about NFL players kneeling on the field while the national anthem plays. It's insane that it's gotten its most traction. Thanks again to a certain president. Before that, no one really gave that much of a shit. Remember, it started with Colin Kaepernick protesting racial injustice, things of that nature, police brutality, and that's what it's about. It's not disrespect to the fucking flag or to the veterans. It's not. It's not at all. In fact, Kaepernick got a suggestion to do the kneeling from a veteran himself, saying this is a way you can sort of show respect, because kneeling is usually a way of showing respect, at least with me growing up. So originally Kaepernick was on the bench just sitting, and people were noticing for some reason that he was, and then he started doing the kneeling thing. And I always thought kneeling as a show of respect personally. I mean, when you went to church, you always kneeled. You kneeled when you went in front of Jesus on the cross there, which, by the way, Catholic churches are so morbid. When you have a guy getting tortured in front of you, you have to say mass. And I think Catholics are the only, the OG Christians, Catholics are the only Christian sect where you actually see a crucified Jesus on the cross. Usually, most churches, you just see a cross without Jesus, which is representative of the resurrection. But for Catholics, we have to just look at the death and morbidity and being reminded of the suffering. And that's what Catholicism is really kind of about, is suffering and being reminded of it. I can say that because I grew up Catholic and was confirmed and all that. I'll get into my horrific penance stories later. The sacrament of reconciliation. Oh, my God. That's fun, talking to some guy face-to-face when you're, you know, 8 years old, telling him about your sins. What did you do when you were 8 years old? What, did you tug your cat's tail? You stole someone's G.I. Joe figure? I mean, what the hell? When you're 8 years old, is that really the age of confession? Or seven? It's right before communion. It's 3 months before communion. You have to make sure your soul is clean by talking to a representative of God. In theory, that's what's going on. So anyway, this NFL ban. What the hell's going on here? This is the 14-10 diet affecting me. The NFL ban on kneeling, what they're saying is that, okay, if you don't want to stand for the anthem, fine, but just stay in the locker room. Otherwise, if you come out on the field, you have to stand respectfully or else we fine you. And this was voted on, I think it was a 31-0 vote by the NFL owners, with one owner abstaining. One owner abstained. That was the San Francisco 49ers owner where Kaepernick played. And then the Jets owner strangely voted for it, but then he said, I will pay any fine of any player. So if any player wants to come out and kneel, I will pay the fine. So in theory, that's rejecting it, but I don't know why, but that happened. But it was, the vote was 31-0, I believe. So this isn't going to change a damn thing. There was talk about the players, I don't know, in solidarity, boycotting or I don't know, all kneeling still. And the whole point is this. There's so much oxygen giving to the, to this right now that this would have came and gone if it wasn't tweeted about by the president, if the fucking vice president didn't do this dog and pony stupid show and waste taxpayers' money flying out to the national anthem just so he could then fly out when he was disgusted by some players kneeling. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that it's come to this point. And I think years from now, we're going to be laughing at this and be like, we were just so dumb overall to even, with everything going on, to focus this much vitriol, or it's really fake vitriol at this issue. It's insane. And then Trump says that, okay, well, if you don't stand for the anthem, you can get the hell out of the country. And that's really not how free speech works. And the fact that the president's saying that is kind of scary in and of itself. It's scary. I don't care what president you want in there. Any president you have to basically, I don't know, spit in the face of the First Amendment is, it's really disgusting. And that said, speaking of disgusting and speaking of social media ruining things, we had Roseanne Barr tweet something. You could say racially charged. It was racist today. And so her somewhat popular, Roseanne Revival show was already canceled by Disney/ABC. I don't know why a star of a show would tweet something of that nature, knowing that you can just have your livelihood taken away. And is it a first amendment issue here? Speaking of the president saying we can't sit down or kneel for the national anthem, which is insane. That would be a thing. And by the way, no one's talking about, man, I'm going all over the place. No one's talking about that. Like 15, 20 years ago, they really never televised the national anthem for all these games. It wasn't really a focus at all. It was just sort of was this thing. It was like, oh, national anthem's playing. There you go. But there was something that happened that encouraged the NFL to televise the national anthem. And this works into Roseanne Barr as well. So there was a gigantic marketing campaign from the government where they gave the NFL a lot of money and advertised, you know, you see advertisements for recruiting for the Army, Navy, etc. A lot of times. You see in the movie theaters even. But that coincided with them showing the national anthem or having the military come out to the games being presented. It was a deal with the NFL. So money drives everything at the end of the day. So, of course, the military would not want, you know, the NFL to promote or at least side with the players exercising their freedom of speech, because that screws up their deal there. So there you have it. So speaking of that, so Roseanne Barr, remember 25 years ago, Roseanne Barr screamed out the national anthem at I think it was a Padres game. Was it a Padres game? I should be prepared here. I think it was a Padres game. She belted out the national anthem. She covered her ears. It was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. That was disrespect to the anthem. Kneeling is not nearly as bad as yelling out the anthem and screaming and then spitting on the ground when you're done. So, Roseanne has somehow become the sweetheart of right wingers because of, I guess she's presented as a Trump supporter on the Roseanne show. And I just think it's funny. It's funny because she's the one that's disrespected the national anthem more than anyone else has ever done, at least in the public eye, as far as I've seen. Yeah, you've had some singers screw up the national anthem, even at the Super Bowl, but that was just a mistake. Screaming and just being an idiot and putting the spotlight on yourself during the national anthem, that's disrespect to the national anthem. I mean, that's direct. So, Roseanne Barr's gone. She apologized. She looks like she apologized within a day. Yeah, too late. So she called a person of color, Valerie Jarrett, like an ape. It's racist. She's gone. Unfortunately, you know, her bad decision affects the other cast and crew of Roseanne because they were going to come back for season two. So it's just an idiotic sort of thing to do. I don't know what you're expecting to accomplish there. And here it's not free speech just because, well, it was free speech. She said that, but you know, her employer can freely say, I don't want to associate with you anymore. Just like anyone else at their job. If you went to your own job and just fired off, you know, racist tweets or yelled racist stuff at from your cubicle, you'd be gone too from your job if your employer didn't like it. If let's see, what's a good example? If Ian, let's just say Ian was a raving lunatic, which he kind of is at times, but just said some racist shit, I could say, you know what, Ian, I don't want you on the CU podcast anymore. I don't want to be associated with that. And it's not censorship because he can still say whatever the fuck he wants, but I don't want to have to be associated with that. So that's really the same situation. I wonder if that's ever going to happen with Ian or myself. Maybe Ian will stop doing the podcast. He doesn't like something I tweet. Then again, a couple days ago, he didn't like something I tweeted, and he kind of came after me a little bit for it, which I thought was strange. But anyway, that's a whole other issue that I'm trying to work out in my own head. But so, Roseanne, she looks like she apologized to Valerie Jarrett. She said, I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and to all Americans. I'm truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. Oh, yeah, I think she said something about her marrying a terrorist or something, too. I should have known better. Forgiving my joke was in bad taste. So, there you have it. Good job, Roseanne. There you go. Get on the... Well, you can't say you're even standing up for free speech because you admit he did something wrong after you're fired because you're an idiot. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, look, even H3H3 saying, yeah, what Roseanne said was racist and a bad example for me to soapbox from because she did deserve what happened to her. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a bridge too far in testing this. Well, you know, I could say what I want now because Trump's president. No, not necessarily. You know, you can still be looked at as an asshole or a bigot or a racist if you say something racist, like in this case. So there you have it there. Okay. Some sadder news. About a month back, I briefly discussed Total Biscuit retiring from game reviewing because of the cancer returning. Fortunately, he's passed away. And it's sad. It was a long-time struggle. And we're not going to really talk about it in the CU podcast, but I'm bringing it up here. Just because, speaking of social media, I guess the theme here is just social media, just bad people making bad decisions on social media constantly. And here, the bad decision was employee at BioWare basically saying that he was glad that Total Biscuit died, which was despicable. So much so that the BioWare GM Casey Hudson had to apologize for. Oh, it was a former staff member's comments. Oof. So the tweets were by David Crooks. He previously worked on Mass Effect Andromeda, and he said the world felt a little bit better after Total Biscuit passed away. Just despicable. It's going back to the Roseanne thing. Yeah, you can say whatever you want, but it's just despicable, and anyone can have. Anyone could disassociate with you professionally if they so choose to. It's not the government censoring you. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but it's just disgusting. And if your next employer or current employer looks at that and says, we don't want to employ you, that's fine by me. You made your bed, you lied. And the worst part about it was, he thinks that Total Biscuit has a toxic fan base. I won't get into that. I don't know enough about that. From what I know about Total Biscuit, he seemed pretty level-headed. Did he probably make some mistakes here and there? Sure, we all do. We all have lapses in judgment. Maybe we don't... sometimes maybe our judgments lead us astray. I'm not saying he did. I remember I listened to him have a pretty long conversation with Stephen Totillo of Kotaku, and it was a great conversation about... you know, the dreaded phrase, don't come after me, ethics and gaming journalism. And it was a good conversation. This is like 2-3 years ago. It's like an hour and a half conversation. So very intelligent guy. Did a lot for the gaming industry and for criticism. And obviously, it's a shame that he passed away. But for anyone like David Crooks, who went after someone who just died, who's leaving behind a kid and a wife, a grieving wife, a widow. It's just I don't know. There's no more decorum, it seems, when it comes to disagreement with people, even people you think might have done something bad. But it just seems that social media brings out the worst in us. I guess that's the theme is that this podcast is about social media, whether you're the president or you're a star of a sitcom or used to work at BioWare or EA. It just seems that social media, it's too easy to say reprehensible things. It's right there. There's no filter. It goes out to the world. It's not like writing on your blog, where if you write on your blog, maybe 50 people see it, 100 people, or even a Facebook page, only your friends may see it. Your, whatever, 200 friends or 300 friends may see it. Twitter, things can get shared or retweeted and liked, and it can blow up. It can become a part of a Twitter moment, and then you have a million or so people see it. You got to be careful. It's your reputation. The things on the internet last forever. If you need to delete your tweet, you can go in the Wayback Machine, or you can just, you know, people have a screenshot software. They can easily get a screenshot of it, and that's permanent there. It's just a shame that people cannot even disagree with someone, even in their death, feel need to attack someone like that. It's really, I don't know. I think it's too easy, social media, in order to, well, that's a good part of social media. It's really easy to get your opinions out there, for better or for worse. But in some cases, I think you might need someone to you know that there's that little cute picture of the cat putting the paw on the person's hand with the mouse. It's time to stop. We need that in our head. We need a cat's paw hovering over our hands when we're ready to type and click send on our phone or on our mouse to send out awful tweets like that. Have I probably sent out tweets I regret? Absolutely. I probably regret that. But I think at this point, I can pretty much know the effect of what certain tweets will have. But I don't know if I can ever hate someone enough. Maybe it's, you know, if it was Bin Laden, I think I tweeted when Bin Laden was killed, thankfully. I mean, I just tweeted the intro to G.I. Joe the movie. I didn't say I was even glad the guy was dead, even though I was glad. You know, but it was so even that extreme position, I didn't do it. Or extreme situation of Bin Laden, who was responsible for thousands of American deaths. I didn't want to do that. But let's just get back. Can we just treat people, each other nicely if we disagree? Can we do that? Is that possible at this point? Has Twitter ruined that for us? And it's Twitter more. Well, Facebook is awful too. I mean, Facebook, I'm like almost done with entirely. But Twitter just seems like it's just a place to divide us more. Social media, it's either you seek out information that you agree with and laugh at even, or, you know, you rub elbows and bump elbows and be like, yeah, see that asshole over there? I agree with you. Seems like social media and Twitter is either for that or for getting really pissed off and saying something terrible, or for getting pissed off at someone's opinion and thinking that person's terrible and then coming after them. That's what it seems it has become. So Roseanne suffered because of that. This ex BioWare employee has suffered because of that. Just be a decent human being. Can we go back to that? Doesn't mean you can't stop joking about things, but be decent. Know when you're being a fucking asshole. Like, know when you're being a douchebag. I think that's not too hard to ask. But it is easier to be a douchebag online. You might think I'm being a douchebag now because I'm talking into a microphone. You might be right about that. You might be right. All right, I'm going to go to some of the Q&A here. Not so common, or at least topics you want me to talk about. It's going to be a somewhat short one here. As the 1410 diet plan eats away at my stomach lining and hopefully burns some calories at the same time so I can get into beach shape. With my little gut here. This is from at Brokilla7421. Solo, a Star Wars Story, bombing at the box office. Did it bomb? Solo, Star Wars Story, bomb. So I was not excited for Solo. a Star Wars story. Han Solo is my favorite, I mean favorite, Star Wars character. I had, you know, I had the two of the action figures as a kid. I had the Bespin outfit and the Han Solo trench coat Return of the Jedi outfit. I still have the figure somewhere. He's the dashing rogue. He's a little sarcastic. He's got an attitude. I never liked Luke Skywalker. Too much of a whiner. Goody two-shoes. And Jedi Knights are overrated. All right, so Solo's announced. I have no interest in it, which is not a good sign, I guess, for Disney and for Star Wars, the Star Wars fandom in general. So let's see. It made just $143 million on its opening weekend, less than half of the $290 million global opening made by Star Wars Rogue One. So we're talking half of Rogue One. Now, Rogue One came out December of 2016, and then you had Last Jedi come out December 2017. Some have said that, well, because Last Jedi was so bad, that's why this did bad. Oh, they think bad like in terms of critical acclaim, even though critics liked it, audiences didn't like it as much. No, that's not it. I just think we're Star Wars'd out. I think it was a mistake not pushing this to December, because Episode 9 isn't coming out until, what, December 2019. I think they should have kept it a Star Wars tradition, at least with these new films, of having this be the fourth new Star Wars film that we've seen the past 3 years only. And they should have had, or 2.5 years. It's 4 movies in 2.5 years only, remember. So that said, I think they should have kept it every December, and it would have done better by default. We've had so many blockbusters just come out. We just had Deadpool come out a week ago. We just had, 2 weeks before that, we had Infinity War come out. We have, you know, in 2 weeks, we have The Incredibles 2. We have Jurassic World 2. I think this was, Star Wars should have taken over. Disney should have said, okay, the summer and late spring is going to be Marvel. We'll keep December where there's no Marvel movies. We'll move that, and that'll be just become the once a year Star Wars movie month. I don't know why they didn't do that. I don't know why they thought it was a good idea to have this be May. I don't know why. It's not an anniversary. It's 41 years of Star Wars, not 40 years. To me, it doesn't make any sense to do this. I just think it looked lukewarm in general. You go to Rotten Tomatoes. On Rotten Tomatoes, you have this getting 70%. So, yeah, it's fresh. But 70% isn't exactly bowling people over. You know, Rogue One, I think, was around 90%, 88%, I believe. And Rogue One was really good. So the total, the final tally, according to analysts, is going to be the final global total. The final global total will be between $400 and $450 million. That's really bad for a Star Wars film because they're expensive. Really bad. And when you take inflation into account, that has to be the lowest out of all of them by far. It has to be when you account for inflation. So remember, there was a ton of reshoots. So according to this information on therap.com, the production budget was $250 million after reshoots. Remember, they reshot a chunk of the movie, just like they did with Rogue One. So for a $250 million movie to make back its budget, $250 million, and then we'll just say half of that, we'll say $125 to $150. Let's say that $125 to $150 was the marketing budget. That might be low, but I'll just say $400 million. That means worldwide for this to break broken even, you got to do at least $800 million because, remember, the studio only gets about roughly half of the ticket sales of the theaters, even with Disney having inflated deals sometimes, which I disagree with, forcing theaters to give them more of it. We're looking at $800 million. They're going to lose a couple hundred million dollars in this movie. It's not good. Now, what does that tell you? Does that mean they're going to do less standalones? No, because Rogue One made money. It just means they might never do that stupid yoga, you know, prequel they were thinking about, or maybe the Obi-Wan prequel, or maybe the Boba Fett prequel. I don't know if those will do well, but people are like, well, Boba Fett's a cool character. Yeah, but he's a niche cult character. Han Solo is a big character. I cried when Han Solo died in Force Awakens. I was like, yeah. And I don't want to see this fucking movie. So I think they have to go back to the well, maybe do an offshoot story and give it more time to breathe. We just, you know, we're only 3 months, or 3.5 months out of there being a Star Wars movie in the theater. Now you can say, yeah, well, the same thing happened with Black Panther still being in the theater when Infinity War starts. But yeah, Black Panther was a hell of a lot better received than The Last Jedi. And I think with the comic book movies having a natural progression, like Black Panther you know, leads right into Infinity War. They're more connected. This is an unconnected story from Last Jedi. It's not part of the regular anthology. So it is what it is. It's not going to do well. I don't think they're going to give up. Disney has spent too much money not to give up on this. Plus, you know, there's a marketing. The marketing dollars could be made up by merchandising. I mean, hell, they had Solo red cups promoted with the movie, which made sense. You know, the red Solo party cups. They had Han Solo party cups. So, I'm excited for Incredibles 2 though in a couple weeks. So Disney lost money there. They're gonna make money back. Disney's just dominating right now. They're just dominating with Pixar and Marvel, MCU, and with Star Wars up to this point. Man, they're making money, and they're gonna buy Fox, and you're gonna have a decent Fantastic Four movie. So I think that's why Solo bombed. There was not good buzz. I don't think it's a lukewarm movie. Ron Howard is a competent director, but he doesn't inspire when he directs. Usually, it's just like, yeah, it's be a well made movie, but may not be something that you're going to write home about. Okay, this is from @Picard_M Maker. All right. What is your strategy for dealing with trolls, especially the persistent ones? You block them. Who cares? I don't think 95% of the time I forget who I've blocked the next day. I don't remember. I couldn't tell you. Do you try to engage with the more reasonable ones while ignoring the obvious jokes and buzz? Well, if it's a troll, they have an agenda. You know, they're just trying to rile you up, so you just block me and don't worry about it. I can usually tell, at least on Twitter or on YouTube, if someone's in a bad mood maybe, or they just have a disagreement, then yeah, you could talk to them, and I can turn people around here and there. On Twitter, it's a little easier. It's happened before where people have come after me, and then after a few replies, they've gotten over it. Twitter is more made for that. YouTube's not, because Twitter, you're having a conversation with just that one person one-on-one. On YouTube, everyone can see what you're talking about. So yeah, it's not... When you're talking about dealing with, you know, trolls, there's no, you don't give them the energy. I mean, I think Norm disagrees about, well, you just mute them. But no, if you just mute trolls on Twitter, they can fuck with everyone else that's following you, and they can still see what you're saying and fuck with them, fuck with the responses. So no, I don't give them any room to breathe. Let them have that little victory of getting blocked. Who cares? Their lives still suck, and they're still sorry ass people, you know, so it doesn't matter to me. This is from @KateCora42. Hey, Kate. What is it like to publish a book, particularly one of the scope of a certain NES guidebook? It was scary. It was scary writing it because there was a ton of work that was done. And I'll get into the behind-the-scenes turmoil that happened with the book. Probably when I write a book describing my life up to that point, when I'm in my 40s and done with the world. But there was a ton of work that went into it. And I had no idea if the book would make money because a book like that had not been done before. Especially by a YouTuber, so I had no idea if that would have done well. It could have sold, the Kickstarter could have done a few hundred copies, would have been a massive failure. It would not have made up my time plus money that went into the book. It couldn't have, potentially. But the fact that it did so well back in fall of 2015, the Kickstarter, the fact that it did so well, and yes, it was five to 6 months behind schedule of coming out because I really thought that it would be done sooner, but I went back and I wanted to be as accurate as I could to that point. Was the first print perfect? No, absolutely. Some errors got through to the second print, and a couple more errors got through to the third, but it got cleaned up. But I cleaned up a lot of developer info and release date info that was wrong with web sources, and I went and did a little more digging there, and I gave it more chance to be edited in that time frame. So it came out a better book through the way, and I don't think many people complained after the fact that it was out. So it was humbling knowing that the hard work paid off, but I was also grateful that it paid off because if not, my career could have went in an entirely different direction. It could have went where I was so disappointed by that I could have retracted it from YouTube potentially. I don't know. The podcast, probably not, but I could have been, well, this retro gaming thing is dead in the water entirely. When it's not, it's dead in the water potentially doing, you know, Pat the NES Punk videos for minimum wage, which, by the way, they're not dying, the Pat the NES Punk videos, but I don't have time to do them as often. There probably will be a 10th anniversary video, so look out for that. But it would have been very disheartening at the time. But now the Super Nintendo book, I know, is going to do just as well as the NES book, if not better, just from feedback and the fact that Super Nintendo now is now like the hot retro system, or it's become the de facto retro style is 16-bit, not 8-bit. 8-bit, see, not necessarily primitive, but 8-bit's sort of like the your grandfather's retro game. 16-bit's like your uncle or your father or your older brother's retro style, like Shovel Knight and everything else. Super Meat Boy, it's all 16-bit style. Almost nothing is 8-bit. The palette is wider than 8-bit and more plentiful, and there's more details. There's 16-bit detail. So that's what it was like to publish a book. It was scary, but I had a good printing team to help me out. I had good artists, good writers. I had an awesome editor. My sister pre-edited Ashton, who's coming up on board to do writing and editing in the second book. Ashton's the best writer by not a country mile, but she's the best writer in general. I'm probably out of the, let's see, we have about 9 writers. I'm in the top 3, but I'm not as good as Ashton. That's for sure. So I'm proud of what was there. I'm building on that for the Super Nintendo book. The Kickstarter is going to happen in the fall, and it'll be out hopefully spring of next year. I think it won't be, being that I'm doing the harder work up front this time, there won't be that big delay between the Kickstarter, I think, when it comes out. At least that's not the plan, because I figured out all the rough shit the first time. And plus, the information is more plentiful in Super Nintendo in terms of developers, release dates. A lot of that shit was hard to find with the NES. By the Super Nintendo time, there was a lot less secrecy. Hell, there's still 2 developers for the NES games. I don't know who fucking developed two games. I don't know who did Godzilla, who actually did the development. I don't know who did Uncanny X-Men. I have no fucking clue. As of the second printing of the Super of the NES book. The developer's unknown still. So, with the Super Nintendo, I don't think that exists. All right. Next up, from at Boomtown Fox, does getting older and still being unmarried cause you concern? I'm almost 30 and I'm totally okay with it. Well, I'm almost 40. I'd rather be happy, single, and living a fulfilling life rather than being stuck in a miserable relationship. Well, there, you answer your own question. There's no concern if you're happy. Unless your goal is, I need to be married. I need to have something that's structured and there every day and have a kid by a certain age. And then if that causes you concern, sure. I don't have that concern. If I have a kid, which as I've gotten older, I have become more open to it, surprisingly. My ex, as we went through our relationship, actually got more closed off to having kids, especially near the end of the relationship. I'm not sure if that was telling her or not. Maybe she didn't want to have them with me. But I can always adopt. Parents are having kids much later in life now. They're waiting until their 40s. A lot of times, they won't wait until they're established and have a healthy marriage. A lot of people jump into having a family with someone they don't love. And then that's awful for the kid. It's good you have the kid. You gave that sperm and egg life. But it doesn't mean that in the long run, they're going to be a healthy adult. You know, if you get divorced 2 years into your marriage, is that good for the kid? Growing up with a single parent? Oof. So I don't feel concern over it. Be happy. Focus on your career. Focus on your friends. You can still have a nice dating life or a happy sex life not being married. You can have significant other or others if you're into that, you know? You can have a fulfilling life without being married. And just because you're married doesn't mean you're happy with that marriage, obviously. Just because you're single doesn't mean you're happy. The grass isn't always greener when it comes to relationships and your marital status. It isn't. I've seen marriages go up in flames. I've predicted the ends of marriages before they got to saying their vows, and it's happened. Sometimes you can tell. And the people are usually blind to are those that are walking down the aisle because they're so enraptured. Oh, getting married is the right thing to do. It's proper. It's what my parents want. You know, it's what I need to have a kid, or I should have a kid. Doesn't always mean it's a proper decision. Don't let the culture around you or others make the decision for you. If you're that person who you're the last of your group not to be married, and even if you're in a relationship or the last of that group not to have a kid, don't feel pressure to make a fucking huge life-altering change just because other people have done it and may or may not be happy with their decision and want you to join in to be part of their club, their newlywed club or their baby fucking club. Not baby fucking club. That doesn't sound good. They're fucking baby. Separate baby and fucking. I'm not saying that's a club at all. That was an emphasis. A freaking baby club there. You don't want to be a part of that club. Then don't be a part of it. Live your life. If it happens, it happens. Don't force things. Life is all about the journey, not the destination. I really believe it. I believe in that. And if you want to get a kid and you're 65, adopt a fucking 12-year-old or 15-year-old so you don't have to feel like you're going to be dead when they're 10. You can always do that. There's tons of kids out there you can adopt. There you go. Then again, maybe I turn 40, have a nervous breakdown, have a midlife crisis, and then you know, marry a 22-year-old and have a kid in 5 months. You never see me again. She takes half my money in game collection. That could happen too. That could happen too. From at that ass is my boss, going back to Solo. Do the lower than expected box office returns for Solo suggest that audiences may be experiencing Star Wars burnout? No, I just think it's they don't like this movie. They don't want to see this movie, and it's only a few months removed from The Last Jedi in everyone's mind. I think that's a combination. I think that Episode 9 will come out and do gangbusters. But they got to be, I think Disney has to be really careful with the next standalone movie. Rogue One, that was a cool story. Solo, no. As much as I want to see Woody Harrelson in a Star Wars movie, that didn't get people's butts in the theaters. And plus, you know, Harrison Ford is so charismatic as Solo. That might have bothered me more than I thought, having some younger guy. Well, he's the same age as probably Harrison Ford was when he did it. But having a, you know, the adventures of young Han Solo and Lando, I don't know. It's hard to do that and replace the actors. Then again, they're going to do that with all the MCU movies. There'll be a new Iron Man at some point. And following from Keeping Up Gaming, the double standards of the, in quotes, free speech crowd who praised Roseanne's racist tweets and the mocking of war hero John McCain, but got offended at athletes kneeling and Michelle Wolf, who was she did the correspondence dinner, which I spoke about last time. Of course it's double standards. What do you mean? People aren't really principled when it's not their side getting called out? Wow, that's a shock. And that's liberal and conservative, of course. People ignoring their own morals when it doesn't suit them? Wow. We're breaking new ground on the delusional human nature that instills in us sometimes bad decisions. Absolutely. You see people go after others for saying bad things, and you know, sometimes the liberal crowd will go after a conservative who says something, sometimes the conservatives will go after a liberal, and they're the first ones to say, well, you shouldn't give people fired because they said something bad. It's free speech. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people trying to go after Bill Maher, the conservatives pissed off about Roseanne getting fired, going after Bill Maher for calling Trump an orangutan, mainly because Trump is orange. His hair is, fake orange, and his skin is orange. So not understanding that, well, there's no racial component to that versus the racial component of calling a person of color an ape, which has been a racist tag in our society for like 150, 200 years. And that's why that's a bigger deal. So people are hypocritical, and it's all rah-rah my side no matter what. It's Machiavellian in human nature to, by any means necessary, win the war, even if you have to, you know, slaughter your own ethical standards in the process. Who cares? My side's winning. Your side's losing. Yay. Even though you're selling your soul in order to make a very short-sighted gain. And of course, with social media, that's compounded as well. So of course, I'm not surprised by the double standards. I think if you want to take the moral high ground, you got to call out your own side for stupid shit. So if you're a conservative, you should be calling out Roseanne. Absolutely. If you're for free speech, you can still call her out while supporting free speech, while also saying what she said was fucking stupid. And if Disney fires her, that's her own fault, because that's how a free market works with deciding who you want to employ. You can still do that. And liberals can call out liberals for being stupid as well, for saying things that are fucking stupid. Why can't that be? Why can't that exist? I don't know. I mourn for society sometimes where, so I think the moderate middle gets drowned out by extremism and by left and right wingers. I think that it's a shame. But then again, if you're a sensible, more moderate person, you don't spend your time on social media that much. You're living a fulfilling, hopefully a fulfilling life with a nice, nice family, or just by yourself. You have a nice job. You have nice friends. And maybe that's where we end this podcast. Maybe that's where we end it while someone tries to get in touch with me. Maybe, just maybe, the more reasonable people stay off of social media because they realize it's a vacuum of emotion. It's just a plethora. It's a pain tunnel that you just... internet pain tunnel that you just whisk down every day. and just have spikes hitting you of Facebook and Twitter, just smacking you in the face. Just vitriol. Vitriolic branches just smacking you. That's what social media is. But yeah, if you like me, you can follow me on social media at PatTheNESPunk or PatTheNESPunk on Facebook. If you enjoyed this Not So Common podcast, please subscribe on your platform your podcast platform of choice. It's the 1410 diet. It's Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please like the podcast. Click that bell fucking notifications thing on YouTube if you're listening there. Yeah, and if you want to really support my ramblings, my 1410 diet ramblings, please, please consider supporting my Patreon. It's patreon.com/PatContry. Thank you, guys. We'll see you in a couple weeks.